If anyone has ever told you that you are special, has anyone ever told you that? Put up your hands if anyone has ever told you that you are special. Anyone? Oh, some people have not. Oh. Who told you that? Your friends? Your mom? Your mom? Moms are good at that, aren't they? Maybe some dads help with that too sometimes. Maybe some friends. Maybe your minister has told you you're special. I hope I have. If not, let me tell you this morning that you are. It feels pretty good when someone tells you that you're special. You know that they love you and that you're important to them, and that feels really good. Now, I won't ask you to put up your hands for this, but I know that there are some of us who don't hear very often that we're special. Sometimes the people that love us forget to say it. They might be thinking it, but they forget to say it. And sometimes we feel like there is no one who loves us at all. And when there's no one to tell us that they love us, and there's no one who tells us how special we are, we sometimes don't feel very good. We might feel like we're not very important and not very lovable. And all of us have times when we feel like that. I hope that for you it won't be very often at all. Most of the time you'll know that you're loved. But a good place to turn whenever we're not feeling very sure about whether we're special is the book of Psalms in the Bible. Psalm 139 is one of my favorites because it reminds me that God is the one who created me. God is the one who created each and every one of us. And God made us each to be special and unique and wonderful. So we're going to begin this morning by reading from the Psalms, from our red psalm books. Those in the pews can get them out. And Dinika is going to lead us in the psalm this morning. So unless she's not ready for that, because she maybe didn't clue into it, she was moving this week and everything, so it's okay. You guys grab a psalm book. We're going to turn to Psalm 139. You can share a little bit. There's quite a few, but leave one for me. 139. You guys are often downstairs when we do this, so this will be a good experience for you. It's quite close to the end, not the very end. And we're going to actually sing refrain number one. So once you get to the page, you see refrain number one, and we sing, I praise you, for I am wonderfully made. So we'll start with that, and then we're going to go over and read the verses. We're going to do verses 1 to 6, and then 13 to 18. So we'll start by singing the refrain.
Searched me and know me. You know when I sit when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away.
You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely.
You hem me in behind and before, and lay your hand upon me.
Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it.
I praise you, for I am wonderfully made.
We continue from verse 13. Turn over to the next page, verse 13.
For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb.
I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, that I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me, when none of them as yet existed. 17.
Sorry. How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God. How fast is the sum of them.
I try to count them. They are more than the sand. I come to the end. I am still with you.
I praise you, for I am wonderfully made.
Isn't that a nice psalm? I love that one. And especially to sing again and again, I praise God because I am wonderfully made, because God made me in a wonderful way, and God made each of us like that. God is the only one who knows everything about us. God knows what we are thinking. God notices everything we do and everywhere we go, even if no one else is paying attention. And even before we say a word, God knows exactly what we will say. As you came into church today, along with your bulletin, you were given a piece of paper, and I know none of the kids have a bulletin up here right now, but I've got special ones for you. But the adults will have to pull out that bulletin and the sheet inside it, which is a bit of a reflection sheet. So take it out right now, and we're going to take a couple of minutes, and we're going to share some music during that time. And I invite you to take the person on the sheet and turn it into a picture of you. As some people came in this morning, they were saying that it was kind of like being back in school. There's homework. You needed a pencil this morning to do the activity. I'd like you to turn that picture. If you're creative and you want to draw it and make it look just like you, you can. But if you would just like to write around it qualities, words that describe how special you are, that would be perfect. If kids, if you want to write words, or if you want to draw something that shows what you're really good at, what you love doing, something that represents who you are around that person.
I'm wondering if any of you have ever done pottery before.
You painted pottery, that's
cool.
Yes.
You don't like this, well then you probably haven't done it before. When I was probably about your age, Prince, I took the first pottery class I'd ever taken. And then a few years ago, 15 years ago, I took another pottery class because it was so fun when I was your age. I thought, as an adult, it would be really fun to do some pottery again. And so I took a class. It was back when I was living in Toronto. And I wasn't very good at it at first. But with a little bit of practice, I seemed to get everything I needed, got a little better and a little better. As it went along. And so I brought a couple of things this morning that I made way back then. It's a mug that I made. Got to glaze it in green and cut out the various pieces and decorate it and
See, that's what's pottery. So you make it out of clay, and then you have to put it in a really, really hot oven called a kiln, and it makes the clay get hard. So I can use this as an actual mug to drink my coffee out of, and I can even put it in the microwave, and it still is good. It doesn't get hurt. It's nice. It works well. And I made a bowl. And then, I don't know if you've ever seen this, but if you go to a real pottery studio, you'll see something called a wheel. And it's like a little tiny round table, and you press the pedal and it spins really fast. And so you put your clay on there and then you can shape it and you can just sort of touch it really gently. And as it spins around and spins around, it starts to make the shape. And so I made this bowl. Now, it's a very heavy, see how heavy that is? It's a very heavy bowl because it's very thick. See how thick the walls are on that bowl? That's because I'm not an expert. You want to feel what it feels like? Pretty solid, eh? But it looks like a bowl and it works as a bowl. You could drink your soup out of it. Yeah, that would be a big bowl of soup. But if I was really, really good, I could make a bowl that had sides that were thin like this. See this one? And look how perfect it is. This one is made by a professional, not by me. But they use the same kind of method that I use to make that one. but it was made by someone who really knows what's happening. But let me tell you a little bit more about that spinning wheel that you make the pottery on. The thing is, when that wheel is spinning, and you're gently touching the side of the pottery, and you're trying to turn it into the shape you want, you have to touch it really gently, and you have to just touch it in exactly the right spots to affect the shape. And if you do it a little bit too hard or a little bit wrong, you can make the whole thing topple over. And it's spinning so quickly that if you just get it off kilter, off center a little bit, the whole thing could just come crashing down, or even you could have clay spinning off the wheel like crazy. It's very delicate, and sometimes if it starts to topple over, you can't just sort of gently fix it, but you actually have to start again. So you'd have to take your lump of clay that's gone all over the place, and you'd have to hit it back on the table and hit it hard to get all the bits of air out of it and everything, so that you could start over with a fresh lump of clay and actually begin to make a bowl or a mug or something else that you're making and make it again. So, are you wondering why we're talking so much about pottery this morning? Well, we're not going to make it. That would be a good idea, although we are going to have something to play with in a few minutes that's sort of related to clay. We're not going to make any pottery, but there's a story in the Bible about pottery. Did you know that? There's a story in the Bible about making pottery. And there was a man in the Old Testament, before the time of Jesus, a prophet whose name was Jeremiah. Do you remember him? Yeah, sounds familiar. God wanted to give Jeremiah a message to tell to the people of Israel. Well, rather than just tell Jeremiah what to say to the people, God decided to show him what to say. So God sent Jeremiah to a pottery shop to watch a potter making clay pots on his pottery wheel, just like we were talking about. So Nick is going to read a passage from Jeremiah chapter 18, and we'll hear what Jeremiah saw at the pottery shop. So let's listen carefully.
The Lord told me, "Go to the pottery shop, and when you get there, I will tell you what to say to the people." I went there and saw the potter making clay pots on his pottery wheel. And whenever the clay would not take the shape he wanted, he would change his mind and form it into some other shape. Then the Lord told me to say, "People of Israel, I, the Lord, have power over you, just as a potter has power over clay."
Thank you. You see, just like the potter can shape the clay into a beautiful pot or bowl or cup, God can shape us into beautiful things as well. Even if we think that there are all kinds of things that are wrong with us, maybe you've drawn some imperfections on those sheets, on those pictures of yourself, God can work on us and help us to get better and better. And God is like a potter who can shape us into wonderful people. Now, remember the clay and how if it went really wrong, God had to squash it and poke it and knead it and prod it into the right shape? Does God do that to us?
No.
Not exactly. Not in a physical way. God doesn't push us or prod us or shape us quite like that. But God does have some wonderful ways of shaping us and making us more like Jesus. Can you think of any ways that God would help us to become more like Jesus? Yeah, Sammy? Teach. Who teaches us? God teaches us, okay. Yeah? And how else? Were you going to say teach as well? Yeah. Does God have any tools for making us more like Jesus? Don't know? How about the Bible? The Bible would be a good tool, something that tells us the stories about what Jesus was like so that we can learn to live like him. And God also uses the church, and God uses other people, and God uses the Holy Spirit to help us to grow to be more and more like Jesus. So we're going to have some quiet time again now, and you can stay exactly where you are. We're going to have some quiet music that Jillian will play for us. And adults, I'll invite you to flip that sheet over, and there are some reflection questions on the back, which you can write about or just think about. And kids, I have something special for you to do. You can reach in here and grab one of these, whatever color you like, And your challenge during this short time is you're going to take the Play-Doh, and I want you to make it into the shape of a cube, a perfect cube. You take one, and then we'll have enough for everybody. So I want you to shape it into a perfect cube, square on each side, right? You know what a cube is?
Yeah, it's like,
And you can think about God shaping you. Do you want to yell? Okay, let's see what we got.
No.
Like mine?
I didn't finish.
It's okay if you didn't finish. You can keep it for the rest of the service. Oh, that's really nice. That's really good.
What?
Oh, very good. You guys did a good job. But you know what? Even those cubes like Satina's look pretty good. They're not perfect yet, right? There's still a lot of work to do. And I bet if you took this back to your pews and worked on it for the rest of the service, we'll see how perfect it could be. But we don't have to do it perfect. And that's the thing that God loves each of us, even though we're not perfect yet. But God wants to keep on working on us so that we get more and more and more and more and more like Jesus is. And so as you do keep on working on this in your pew back with your parents, think about how God wants to pay that much attention to you to help you to become more and more like Jesus each and every day. So you can grab up your stuff, take your Play-Doh with you, and feel free to take your boards. There's some extra activities in there. And for the rest of the service, you can continue from there. Or if some of you want to stay where you are, it's okay too. Okay? When we heard the passage from Jeremiah a few minutes ago, we stopped after verse 6, but now I would like to read the entire passage that is set by the lectionary for this Sunday. The Lord told me, "Go to the pottery shop, and when you get there, I will tell you what to say to the people." I went there and saw the potter making clay pots on his pottery wheel. And whenever the clay would not take the shape he wanted, he would change his mind and form it into some other shape. Then the Lord told me to say, "People of Israel, I, the Lord, have power over you, just as a potter has power over clay. If I threaten to uproot and shatter an evil nation, and that nation turns from its evil, I will change my mind. If I promise to make a nation strong, but its people start disobeying me and doing evil, then I will change my mind and not help them at all. So listen to me, people of Judah and Jerusalem. I have decided to strike you with disaster, and I won't change my mind unless you stop sinning and start living right." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We often focus on the way God wants to shape our personal lives, and this is good and helpful and appropriate. Jesus' message as he preached and taught around Galilee was to repent and believe in the good news and follow him in everything we do. Jesus calls us to turn our lives towards God's ways and to let God shape us into the people we are meant to be. But here in this prophetic text, God's message is not intended for Jeremiah alone. God's message is not intended for Jeremiah to share with individuals alone. God was speaking to Jeremiah about shaping Israel. God was talking about shaping the nations. As we hear about God the potter shaping the nations of the world, it doesn't sound like God has a gentle touch, carefully smoothing out a few imperfections, patiently working the clay into an even more beautiful shape. Instead, we hear about an angry and frustrated potter. God has a vision of what we are to be in the world, our countries, our nations, our churches, perhaps. But like a pot that has gone wrong, we are warped and uneven and in danger of toppling. There is so much sin and evil in our world. And it's not just in individuals, it's within our systems, our governments, our policies, and our structures. We live in a world in which some people are treated better than others based on the color of their skin, their language or religion or culture. We don't seem to know or remember that we are all God's children. We live in a world in which the greed and materialism of some lead to the poverty and oppression of others. We choose to waste the clean water that others live without. We choose to buy the cheap clothes and toys and other products made by children and adults in oppressive sweatshops in other countries. When our economy is doing well, we watch the rich grow richer and the poor in our own city getting left behind. We live with governments that are very often led by the results of polls. What do the people want? What can we give them so that they'll let us stay in power? Is there no one who seeks good? Is there no one who wants to do what is right, but only what is popular? We live in a world in which there is so much fear and distrust of one another that we fight over territory and take up arms against those who are different. While as individuals we struggle to forgive one another, as countries and nations we rarely consider the possibility of forgiveness, of letting go of the past, of starting over and trying to live peacefully together. The message that God gave Jeremiah was a message for the nations. It was a warning to the kingdoms that they must change. They must let God be their potter. Actually, God says, "I, the Lord, have power over you, just as a potter has power over clay." If God threatens to uproot and shatter an evil nation, that nation turns from its evil, God will change God's mind. God will keep on working with that nation to shape them into something good and beautiful and useful. But if God promises to make a nation strong, but its people start disobeying God and doing evil, then God will change God's mind and not help them at all. That's exactly what was happening with Israel. They were turning away from God, worshiping idols, failing to worship and follow God, and doing all kinds of evil. God, the potter, was saying to them, "I'm going to crush you. I'm going to squash you. You're so far off from the shape that I'm trying to make that I can't just mold you into a pot. I've got to start over, and that's going to hurt." "So listen to me," God was saying. "I have decided to strike you with disaster, and I won't change my mind unless you stop sinning and start living right." On the surface of it, this message from God sounds like really bad news. The people are going to be struck with disaster if together as a nation they don't make some significant changes. But I don't think it's actually such bad news. It's actually good news that God is not only going to go to great efforts to shape our individual lives, but to shape our communities, countries, and nations. About a year ago, you and I and people throughout the world were shocked by the image of a little refugee boy lying face down on a beach, having drowned in the escape from war-torn Syria. Now, don't misunderstand me. I would never say that God made something like that happen. God is not responsible for the death of Alan Kurdi. But I believe that God took that disaster and used it for good. That disaster woke many of us up. It was like we were a warped and ugly clay vessel on the wheel, and we suddenly realized that such a pot was never going to hold water without a major transformation. It changed a lot of individual hearts and minds and prompted us to get involved in doing something about the world refugee crisis. And it also woke up some of our nations. It wasn't only that a bunch of individuals in Canada decided to try to help refugees, but as a country, we changed some of our policies, we allowed way more refugees to be sponsored, and we put significant resources towards getting them here more quickly. Those closest to the work of refugee sponsorship will tell you that the changes in the system weren't perfect. But they will also say that the same changes have been a vast improvement, and they are very, very thankful. There are more disasters happening day by day, with refugees, with racism, with the poor of our own province sometimes unable to properly feed, clothe, or educate their children. And even when our individual hearts break for them and we give what we can to help, much more is needed to transform our society as a whole into the one that God intends for us to be. We have to let God be our potter, because that's what God is. We have to let God shape us, both as individuals, as churches, and as nations. Let us use our voices and our votes to speak out for what is right and good and just and generous, that our city and province and country and world may be shaped by God into the people that we are meant to be. May God help us as we seek to be changed. May God give us courage and determination and hope. Amen.